The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Today's program came out of the workshops that Reverend Larry offered during the lockdown in March and April. We felt that the concepts that were introduced were thought-provoking and kind of universal in nature. So you don't have to be an old person to appreciate them. I hope you feel the same way about them. We're going to present some of those concepts to you today. So whoever you are, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whoever you love, however old you are, please spend the next hour exploring with us. And now Susan Hare will light the chalice.
Our chalice reading comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And now Preston Littweiler will light the peace lamp, followed by our gathering song.
May peace be with you and with all the people of the world.
Good morning. Our moment for all ages today is called Lemonade Adventure by Naomi King. Once there was, and once there was not, a town on the edge of the swamp in the sultry summer weather of far South Florida, maybe between the alligators and the ocean. In this town, there were two amazing friends, Sam and Joseph. They were a lot alike. They liked the same foods, they liked the same books, they liked the same movies and music and games. They even liked the same class in school. Yes, they liked math, if you can believe such a thing. But 2 weeks into summer vacation, Sam and Joseph were bored for supper, bored for lunch, bored for breakfast, and bored in between. Bored with books and bored with movies and bored with television, bored with games and bored with music and bored with the internet and definitely, almost definitely bored with each other. I'm bored, Sam said. I'm bored too, Joseph said. Why am I here with you? Sam asked. You're so boring. Why am I here with you? Joseph asked. You're so boring. But they were too bored to move away from each other. Each boy sighed. Sam grabbed another bag of chips and Joseph grabbed another fizzy drink and they lay on the floor, unable to open the chips or drink because the boredom prevented their fingers from moving. Then Joseph's father pulled up and quick as a flash, the door was open and Joseph's father shouted out quickly, "Hi boys, gotta run, but just dropping off Grandpa Jeff, or maybe it's Grandpa Jerry, one of the J grandpas, gotta go, see you later, have fun y'all, bye." By the time these words had even made it to Joseph and Sam's ears, Joseph's father's car was pulling out of the driveway. And Grandpa Jeff, or maybe it was Grandpa Jerry, was sitting on his suitcase with his cane, blinking a little and cleaning his spectacles with an embroidered kerchief. This was something new. Sam and Joseph propelled themselves from their prone positions to investigate this new Jay Grandpa. They poked, they prodded. Finally, Grandpa Jay said, "Ouch, stop that. Were you raised by wolves?" "No, I suppose not. You'd have better manners." Red splotches broke out all over Grandpa Jay's neck. He sighed. "That wasn't nice of me either. Allow me to introduce myself." Grandpa Jay introduced himself and Sam introduced Joseph and Joseph introduced Sam and then they stood there looking at each other. So it's summertime, boys. What are you doing for fun? Sam and Joseph just looked at one another. Fun? We had fun, but it is gone now. Now we're just bored. Boards? Asked Grandpa Jay. Yes, you should probably get some boards, along with some nails, hammers, some paint. Come on, boys, let's go find what we need. A brief while later, they were hammering boards together and painting. The boys asked Grandpa Jay what they should paint. He shrugged his shoulders and said, I don't know what you should paint. You have colors and patterns and ideas of your own. Show them to the world. They did. And as they did, Joseph and Sam realized they were not bored. They were excited. That evening, they ate delicious smoked tempeh and tomato sandwiches and laughed and talked with Grandpa Jay about heroes and movies and transforming action figures. Grandpa Jay, we love adventures. Tell us some of yours. And so Grandpa Jay did. He told of fixing engines and of splitting wood, of wandering lost in a desert, and of meeting his true love. Joseph and Sam hoped their lives might be as exciting as Grandpa Jay's was. At the end of the day, they thanked Grandpa Jay for all these grand adventure gifts. But he said to them, boys, every person has gifts and ideas and stories. Every person has adventures. Some know how to tell them, and some have a special gift of coaxing them out of someone else. But an adventure is always within your power. The boys went to sleep, having stored their words somewhere, but dreaming of adventures they had been told and heard. The next day, Sam and Joseph asked Grandpa Jay what they would do with what they built. Do? What do you think we should do? The boys dreamed and they thought and they talked, and then they set up a lemonade stand. One by one, kids came by to stand and talk and tell jokes and buy lemonade. Then the utility crew working on the electrical line stopped at lunch and bought lemonade and talked about their boys and when they had lemonade stands. And so it went. The weekend zipped by. It was time for Grandpa Jay to leave. He took each boy's hand in his to shake goodbye. Sam and Joseph said, thank you, Grandpa Jay, and goodbye. Come back again. We hated being bored, and you fixed that. But Grandpa Jay put down their hands and looked at them steadily. Boys, boredom is a choice. You each have gifts and ideas. So did all those people you met. You each have stories. So did all those people you met. The beginning of an adventure is always within your power. When I came here, I had forgotten that, and you reminded me. Thank you, and goodbye. We may have to say goodbye at times, but when we have gratitude, we can remember the ways each person's life touches ours and continue to live with that gift. Thank you.
So back in March, when the virus was just beginning to affect our local area, I decided to stay home from work and took a personal leave of absence. I was at high risk for COVID-19 and had had some client interactions that made me feel uncomfortable. One of the pluses of that was that I was able to participate in Reverend Larry's Conscious Aging Workshop. The workshop helped me process to make the decision of retiring and feel good about it. As I said before, those of us who were in the workshop felt that there were some interesting concepts that we learned and exercises that could apply to people of any age. One activity that I found quite valuable was to do my life review by considering turning points, times of seeing the world in a different light, or a pivotal moment of deep connection and transformation. Focus on emotions. When I did this, certain points in my life jumped out at me. Leaving my family to go to college, I remember the feeling I had when they drove away, leaving me at Penn State. I hadn't really been away from them for such a long time before that. Then when I fell in love with my husband and got married, having my son and feeling so full of love, then dropping my son off at college, bawling my eyes out in the Phoenix airport. When he got married, learning more about Buddhism and the Tibetan culture of my daughter-in-law. And then most recently when my grandson was born, and he fills my days now. He makes everything joyful. So all these events had nothing to do with my job. Any academic or career achievement was not what was most important to me. So I realized that what was most important was my family and other loved ones in my life. Retirement would actually give me more time to spend with them. Making money is important, but I can give up some money, which I would probably spend on unnecessary material things anyway. I may decide to go back to work part-time when the pandemic is over, but I also was reminded that I enjoy working with children and also making art, which I plan to do more of in the future. These are activities that bring me joy. So hopefully this is an exercise that you can try. It doesn't have to take a long time. Use your maybe 5-10 minutes and think about those emotional transition points from your life to make sure that you're spending your time in the ways that are most meaningful to you. And now Susan Hare will share her thoughts with you.
During this time of social isolation and self-reflection, especially after the workshop, I realized two experiences have been right in front of me in my own home regarding conscious aging. I've been attempting to go through the daunting task of organizing a great number of picture albums which belong to my mother's side of the family, including some which belong to my much older aunt, many from my father's side too. There are also the ones of my mother's. She loved to put together picture narratives of our family all through the years. Then there are the ones of my own family growing up. Some older ones are being kept intact as they have written commentary and are in good condition. Others need to be sorted, decisions made on which to save and how to store them for the future. I find myself looking carefully at my relatives as children and young adults, realizing that I didn't know those people at that time. I wish I could step into the scenes, see what that time was like, and ask them many questions, which of course I did not when I was younger. I see pictures of them at an older age as I knew them. It has brought a mixture of emotions, joy, sorrow, regret, but mostly a feeling of how we change through the years and that we are all connected by love. This job is taking me much longer than I anticipated, but it is rewarding. One note, we have a grandniece whom we have not seen as she was born in February. So those digital pictures coming our way are especially precious right now. The other activity came to me unexpectedly. Those from my high school reunion committee decided to send out our contact information and invite us all to a Zoom meeting as an experiment. We are at home now, most are retired, and the social connection might help everyone. It has been amazing. The first one had around 30 join. We are now meeting monthly, some near, some far. We discuss where we live, how we are using our time, how we are coping with restrictions in our location, what we are reading, and just chatting. I feel like those I knew well and those not so much are all visiting me in my own home as friends. At our last meeting, we all sang happy birthday to one in the group. The mix is different each month, so the group discussions vary. The commonality of our school experience and age is bringing us together in a different way than our reunions did. We are getting to know each other in a series of conversations. During normal times, this would not have happened. I cherish this time and value the connections. And now Jerry Nazaro will sing Sunrise, Sunset.
Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the days. Seedlings turn overnight to sunflowers, blossoming even as we gaze. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the years, one season following another, laden with happiness and tears. Is this the little girl I carried? Is this the little boy at play? I don't remember growing older. When did they? When did she get to be a beauty? When did he grow to be so tall? Wasn't it yesterday when they were small? Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the days. Seedlings turn overnight to sunflowers, blossoming even as we gaze. Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the years, one season following another, laden with happiness and tears.
I enjoyed Larry's sessions on conscious aging and got to thinking that life is an arc. It is usually impossible to see the full trajectory at the beginning, but it is revealed over time. Conscious aging is about looking back with perspective, appreciating and accepting the present, and looking forward with intention to prepare for what comes next. Punctuated equilibrium is a concept in evolution. Long periods of slow change are punctuated by singular events that reshuffle the deck. And that is often the case with the arc of one's life. There are inflection points, thresholds, forks in the road that change the trajectory of the arc. Thomas Paine could not have imagined as a young corset maker, an apprentice printer, a pamphleteer, that his words would dismantle monarchies and birth new republics, and that one of those republics, the French Republic, would almost take his life. John Lewis could not imagine, as a sharecropper's son preaching to chickens, how he would change the world over the course of a life of standing up, speaking out, and making a lot of good trouble. I'm not comparing my life to that of Paine or Lewis, but it has certainly been an interesting arc of punctuated equilibrium playing out in chapters. When I was 9 or 10, I doubted that I, or the world around me for that matter, would survive much past the year 2000. The bomb, you know. I knew that duck and cover would not cut it. It would be all over. In 1960, JFK was elected president. And after we survived the Cuban Missile Crisis, I could begin to see a new frontier. I wanted to be a nuclear engineer to put the power of the bomb to peaceful use. On Halloween, I collected change for UNICEF. The United Nations looked like it might actually work. Then JFK was assassinated, then Martin Luther King, then Robert Kennedy. These events marked the first 18 years of my life, chapter one. And for some of my contemporaries, life ended at chapter one in Vietnam. In 1969, I dropped out of Cornell. As a Quaker, I had registered as a conscientious objector. I might have been required to do 2 years of alternative service, but a high draft lottery number relieved me of that obligation. I wanted to do some kind of voluntary community service anyway, and I worked first for a low-income housing nonprofit in Ithaca, New York. And then while working as a carpenter in Bucks County, I moved to a rundown former war housing project, took on the slumlord, and eventually ran a renewal project to fix the place up and turn it into a cooperative. The idea of 2 years of voluntary alternative service became an 11-year chapter two of my life. The housing project had its own water system. Out of necessity, I became a licensed water plant operator. I liked that part of the job. And after closing the book on chapter two, I went back to school at Drexel, finished a bachelor's degree in civil engineering and a master's degree in environmental engineering, and got a job at what would become one of the largest private water utilities in the country. That became a third chapter, lasting 33 years. I got married, had two sons, put them both through college. 5 years before I retired, my mother passed away. My dad died a few months after I retired, and a year later, my younger sister died of cancer. A reminder that the arc of life always ends, sometimes unpredictably. Retirement was the inflection point that opened the door to chapter four. I became involved in politics and, quite unexpectedly, found love while managing a campaign for a gem of a candidate for state rep. Near the end of the campaign, I decided literally overnight to leave my loveless marriage, no matter the cost, and make a new life with Linda. A plaque on the bureau in our bedroom is inscribed with the words, "Once in a while, in the middle of an ordinary life, love gives us a fairy tale." I look back and marvel at the fairy tale I'm living and the path by which I've gotten here. Every day I'm focused on new intentions to make the last chapter long and full while reckoning with the inevitable and living consciously, deliberately, thoughtfully to that end. And now my partner in that fairy tale will tell her side of the story, or at least part of it.
Okay, so now I follow that. Conscious Aging, what an intriguing title for a workshop. It certainly spoke to me, and I'm so glad I had the opportunity to experience this workshop with Reverend Pierce and the other participants. From that, I took this saying from C.S. Lewis: "You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream." These words mean more and more to me with each passing year, but frankly, I never spent a lot of time thinking about aging. The traditional milestone ages never fazed me, whether it was turning 30 or 40 or 50 or 60. Well, you get my point. Seriously, though, I never really thought of myself as aging. I know that sounds silly, but I was too busy trying to live what I hoped would be a consequential life. There was always some new challenge or cause that captured my attention. So aging was something that other people would have to do. I was too busy leading what I thought was a very full life. Little did I know that at the age of 64 in 2016, my life would take a totally unexpected turn. On that fateful day, I received a phone call from Governor Wolf that changed the trajectory of my life. At the time, I was the president of 16,000 educators in Bucks and Montgomery counties and had the opportunity to speak with the governor on numerous occasions. Several weeks before that, we were discussing the inability to move a meaningful legislative agenda, and I told him if I could help in any way, please let me know. Well, he let me know. He called and asked me to run for state representative in the 150th district. That was the furthest thing from my mind. He told me it would be hard and that the Republicans would make it very ugly, but he was going to pledge his personal money and support. So I was off and running. What an amazing roller coaster ride that turned out to be. Life altering, you would say. I needed a treasurer for the campaign, so some important guy in Area 4 by the name of Preston Lutweiler was recommended. He had the audacity to interview me and then agreed to be my treasurer and then ultimately my campaign manager. But what does that have to do with conscious aging? Well, here it is. I was one of 9 people in Pennsylvania, including Hillary Clinton, who were going to be endorsed by President Barack Obama. That was a big deal, huge deal for a girl who grew up on a farm in Spring City. But I had to go to Philadelphia and meet him and have my picture taken with him. It was July, it was swelteringly hot, and the traffic in the city would be a nightmare. So my campaign manager, Preston Lutweiler, suggested that we take the train. So we went to Bryn Mawr and boarded the train. We get to the train station, he buys 2 round-trip tickets, and we board the train. I was unaware that he bought 2 senior tickets, and I was only 64, so I clearly did not qualify. He was 66, so he was okay. The conductor comes around for our tickets, looks suspiciously at Preston and says, "May I see your ID, sir?" He checks it and nods okay. At this point, I said, not realizing it was a senior ticket, "Would you like to see my ID?" He looked at me up and down and said, much too emphatically, "No." I was crushed, but there was the meeting with Obama. It was an experience I will never forget. And he really is as cool as ice in person. Oh, how I miss that man in the White House. After a wonderful couple of hours, we boarded the train and headed back to Bryn Mawr. Different train, different conductor, collected our tickets, looked at Preston, and asked to see his ID. Ever hopeful, I said, "Would you like to see my ID?" Another scrutinizing look and another emphatic no. I turned to Preston and said, "After I win this election, I'm getting a facelift." Unfortunately, both Hillary and I lost the election, but I did win the heart of that man who looks so much younger than I. And obviously, there was no facelift. Conscious aging helps me appreciate right where I am, as I am, and accept every new goal and dream as a blessing.
We'll have a quick musical interlude here while we give people a moment to think about their matters of the heart, and then we will follow our usual routine.